Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. That particular song, so I was 6 years old, just barely. It was in, I think my mom's birthday is January 20th, and that's when her dad passed away. I was 6 years old, so we drove from Montana to Indiana to go to my grandfather's funeral, and of course it was snowy and icy, and my mom didn't have a lot of experience driving in those kind of conditions, but we made it. And I remember, right across the street from where my grandparents lived, right directly across the street was the Nazarene Church, and that's where they had the memorial service. And I remember the pastor talking about my grandfather and saying nice things, and then he started singing the song that we just sang. And, you know, I'm a six-year-old, and I think we had just started going to church in Montana, either just before then or maybe a little bit after. So I'm hearing him sing this song, and he walked with me and talked with me, and in the garden alone and what have you, and I thought, isn't that nice? He was singing about my grandpa, wrote a song, and, you know, I had no idea who he was singing about, you know. And it just hit me, as I'm standing right there, it just hit me that 30 years later we sang that at my grandmother's funeral, but we had the revelation by then, so thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. It's progressive, yeah. Amen. Let's read from John chapter 1. We'll read three verses. And then from Joel chapter 2, we'll read a portion from verse 23 to 32. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his, and here John is 6 months older than him, and he says he was before me. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Then again from Joel chapter 2, we'll start at the 23rd verse. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm." It's the same insect in four stages. "My great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and the pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand here before you, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. It's with anticipation. It's with gratefulness. It's certainly with love. And Lord, we surrender to you as a body this evening, both those that are present with us and those that are listening in and those that will listen in. And Lord, as we surrender to you, we just ask that you'd have your way once again, that you'd speak to our hearts, and Lord, that it would go from the printed page to living word manifested in our lives. Father, I just we thank you for the ability to continue to come and to praise you and to feast upon your word. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with those that are not able to be with us for various reasons. We ask that your blessings be upon them, those that are sheltering, those that are sick, those that are recovering, of those that for other reasons are not here. We just ask that you'd be with them, minister to each and every one according to their need. And Lord, we look forward to, we certainly look forward to that meeting in the air, Lord. And if you would tarry, we look forward to meeting here on the earth, where we're all together once again, and we can hug one another's necks as appropriately, shake one another's hands, certainly. And but Lord, if we never get to do that again on this side, we know that it's just a temporary thing. And Lord, we're longing for a greater day that is to come, that is upon us. We just ask that, Lord, that you'd minister to our hearts now, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I do need to just kind of touch on it briefly, and it has to do with our present situation with the COVID virus. I am so frustrated with the media because, you know, everybody acts like they know what they're talking about, and everybody acts like they're an expert, right? Everybody's an epidemiologist. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. And most of them don't even have a clue what they're talking about. So here's the headline that my wife forwarded to me, and I just had just a few moments to look at it, and I looked at it a little bit longer in the office because, you know, I'm trying to figure out, well, what are they trying to tell us, you know? And so here's the headline: Arizona becomes the hottest COVID-19 hotspot. And then as they go into it, Arizona has now become the hottest COVID-19 hotspot. John Hopkins University data shows Arizona has the highest number of COVID-19 cases per day in the world. Right? And so if you just take their word for it, it's like, wow, that sounds really bad, right? Compared to what? Highest number of cases per day in the world. Well, first of all, if it's just highest number of daily cases, that's a lie.
Right.
And I have the data here. I look at it every day.
Right.
If it's the highest number of cases per capita, it's still a lie.
Right.
So what are they even talking about?
Right.
And so I go and look at the data. The only thing that I could see that they might be referencing is the what they call the positivity rate. And what the positive, simply put, let's say you test 100 people. 100 people come in for a test, right? The number that tests positive out of all of the number that are tested, let's say 25 test positive. So the positivity rate would then be 25%, because 25% of 100 people tested positive. Okay, we do have a high positivity rate right now. It's 27%, which is the highest that we've had. So I don't know if that's what they're referring to or not, but once again, everybody that has it is not getting tested, right? And we're testing more than other places. And then to say the world, you know, I mean, I hate those kind of statements, you know. Strongest man in the world. Oh, you went and wrestled everybody in the world and you found out, you know, in the world, you know. Let's see, China has close to 2 billion people and Arizona has a higher number of cases than China. right? I mean, it's just, anyway, clearly the number of cases are up. Our hospitals are, the way they put it, they're over 100% capacity, which means that they're now taking rooms that, say, just had one bed in it, and they're putting two beds, and they're taking rooms that, you know, were utility rooms, and they're turning them into hospital rooms. So certainly the number of cases are up. It is a concern, and we just need to keep doing, you know, there's nothing different that we need to do, unless you're not doing what you're supposed to do. We just need to keep doing what we're doing, and normally the peak lasts for about 2 weeks. Our peak is extended, and I have a theory about that. One's called Christmas, the other one's called New Year's, and they're separated by a week, so that will probably extend our peak by a week or two, so and then it'll start coming down. And you say, how can you say that? Well, the way this virus works is that it spreads to as many people as it can, and then it can't spread anymore, right? It can't get to the people like myself. I'm not going out to restaurants. I'm not going to funerals. I'm not going to weddings. I'm not going to birthday parties. I am going to work, but my job's right here. So I do have an advantage over many of you because, you can do everything right and still have a coworker that isn't doing everything right. And that certainly happened to a lot of you. So you've done everything you know to do, but then, you know, somebody else is, you know, leaning over your keyboard and, oh, by the way, I got COVID, or, you know, like some of us have done in times past, in years past, and it drove me crazy, but in years past, people would come and, I was just feeling really lousy this morning. That's after they hug you and shake your hand. I was feeling real lousy this morning, but I'm believing. It's like, well, okay. We want you to believe, but, you know, you don't have to hug me. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to, just real quickly, looking at the data. So if we look at new cases per day, right now California leads. In terms of new cases per day, we're number 10 out of 50 states. Okay, so that's not it. You say, well, maybe it's a number of cases per capita, right? Well, yeah, that's a good thought, right? Number of cases per capita. So we look at total number of cases per million population. And guess who's number one? And I've been following this for a while, so I already knew it. North Dakota. And North Dakota has one of the lowest populations in the nation, yet they have so 12.3% of their population has COVID or has tested positive for COVID. Now, and then I look at, okay, are they testing more than the other states? No, they just have a higher number of cases. And I think that's because I live there. I think that's because it's below zero there, and people are inside, right? Remember when we had our peak in June and July? What do you suppose that was? Hottest day on record, and we were inside, right? We were getting outside, and after that, and it dropped. So that's why Arizona was peaking. Okay, so it's not highest number of cases. It's not highest number of cases per capita. So where are we at on that list? Excuse me for just a moment because I left my glasses in my... There we are. We're number 14 in the nation for number of cases per capita, right? How about deaths per million population? Would that be a good thing to look at? I promise you I won't do this every service. Rhode Island leads the nation in deaths per million, followed by Alaska, deaths per million, the state that was looking down on all of us, calling us all a bunch of weirdos. They have this. Here's the result. Where are we at on that list? I can't see. Excuse me for just a moment. Where are we? Arizona. Arizona. Come on. There we are. We're number 45. So That ain't it. So I don't know what they're talking about. Like I said, the positivity rate is high right now. 1 in 4 that are tested test positive for COVID. But to be fair, what about all of those? You know, really, to be fair, the positivity rate would be the number of cases, it would be the total number of cases, right? But obviously, if you don't think you have COVID, you're not going to get tested. And 30% of the people that get COVID never know it. So anyway, enough said. Sorry, scientific background. If you're gonna play scientist, then use data. You know, it's irritating. That's like trying to discuss the Bible and not using the Bible, or not being able to handle it, like a representative did in the House of Representatives this week. You know, he prayed and he said, "Amen" and "a woman," you know, which is so stupid because "amen" has nothing to do with gender. You know, but you'd know that if you actually read the Bible. But and he's a Methodist minister. Just shows you where we're at. You know, stop the world. I want to get off. So the only message that I'm trying to share here is that, you know, when things are said, you know, another thing that's really irritating is that if the media says it, it's true. Right. You know, well, you can't trust most of what the media says now. So, and it's real easy to check, you know. Yeah. So I went and checked. I also went and checked because they said, according to John Hopkins University. So I went to their website. Nah. Same thing, you know, we're further down the list and we're not anywhere near leading the number of cases in the world. Or yeah, so I don't know what they're talking about. Hallelujah. You didn't know you were going to get a little science. Just keep doing what you know to do, what you've been taught to do, and by God's grace, we are going to get through this. So, do you remember the scriptures that we just read? Okay, all right, so we won't read them again. So we see Mount Zion, and we know that the scripture speaks of Mount Zion, and we know that Mount Zion is the type of the Gentile bride of Jesus Christ, and we know that Jerusalem is the natural type of the bride, which is Israel, the other one being the spiritual bride, and then the remnant is made up of the foolish virgin of both the bride and of Israel. So all four of these groups are spoken of in Joel chapter 2 in this prophecy that we just read. We'll look at here more in just a moment. So in our scripture in St. John here tonight, we see that there was a man by the name of John who was had the spirit of Elijah, and he foreran his message, and John... physically foreran the coming of the Word made flesh, which is the Lord Jesus. And we know that at the end time of the Gentile ages that were promised, that another forerunner would come with the spirit of Elijah, with a message that would forerun the physical return of the Lord Jesus at the time of his second coming. And of course, we're anxiously waiting and great anticipation to meet the Lord Jesus in the air, to meet him in his physical body, and for us to have a body change, a body that matches his body. And we also recognize that this is the hope of all the ages. And you and I are privileged to be living in that time of where this is going to be fulfilled. So we never, ever want to lose our enthusiasm for that great meeting in the air, when the bride of all the ages is going to be gathered together as one to meet him in the air and then to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb and of the Lamb's wife. So we're waiting for a physical return. But we're thankful that he didn't come physically at the time of the opening of the seals. I know that that was something that I was worried about as I was reading it, and perhaps maybe you thought about it, and others have probed at it and have said that the Lord has already come, you know, that we're in the tribulation period, but we know that that's not the case. You see, there were some of us that weren't even aware yet of our day and its message, and we weren't born again. So if that had been the coming of the Lord, the physical coming of the Lord, where there was no more mercy, and those that are saved are saved, those that are lost, well, you know, I didn't know anything about it, you know. I just told you, so 1966, that's when I was 6 years old, so we just started going to church as Baptists. So I wouldn't have been part of the bride. I wouldn't have went in the rapture. I shouldn't say it that I wouldn't have been part of the bride. You're either part of the bride or you aren't. But I wouldn't have went in the rapture if the Lord had come, because I hadn't heard the message of his coming. I hadn't been changed. I hadn't been quickened. I hadn't been born again of the Spirit. Others amongst us, you know, I look around here this evening, there's a whole bunch of you that weren't even a thought yet. or that's all that you were, was a thought, you know. You weren't even born. So what about you? So if the Lord would have physically come for the rapture of the church, many of us would have been left out. Can you say amen to that? Our names, each name, every name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, every name in the Gentile dispensation had to be dipped in the Clorox bleach of his blood, and would have been left behind had they not been interceded for, had they not accepted their salvation and grace, had they not been converted, born again of the Spirit. They would have been left behind, not even considered in redemption. And of course, friends, what kind of a redeemer would leave out those that he came to redeem? No, he's not leaving until the very, he's not coming until the very last one. It doesn't matter who it is. You say, well, it's the very least. Well, he'll stay there for the very least. So redemption was not yet complete when the word came open to us. We really didn't understand the coming of the Lord at that time. And we didn't know that he was to come first in his fullness and to reveal himself through a borrowed body of a prophet and forerunner. And we didn't know that there was to be a word form of his coming that would be followed later by a flesh form of his coming. We didn't know that. We didn't know that the word form of his coming would be revealed through the last Eve, that it would be Christ coming in his a bride body. It would be Christ coming in a body here on the earth, which is his church. We learned in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, that the secret of the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, would be Christ revealing himself in bride form in the last Eve. Now that's something that the church never, it's been hidden from the church. It's been hidden from the scholars. We didn't see that. We didn't know that. And yet it's been laying there in the scriptures. And as he was manifested in Christ, the bridegroom, so must he now be manifested in bride form. The fullness must be manifested in a body, but this time it's a many-membered body throughout the earth. Are you with me so far? So this word must be manifested in its fullness in the bride in this hour. Now I put half of you asleep already. I want to wake you up. This word must be manifested in its fullness in the bride in this hour. And you feel bad that you're living in this hour. You feel sorry for yourself, or the world feels sorry for itself. You're living in the best time that you could be living. As a bride member, as a member of the bride. You're living in the greatest time. The hope of all the ages is going to be fulfilled in your day. And we must see, as we've been looking at, we're not through with that series that we've been on with the, you know, the cutting away of different things, the sharp sword of the word at the border. We're not through with that series yet. We're going to look at some more things. But one of the things that we touched on that we want to just dive into a little bit more here tonight and maybe in a couple more services, we have to see what our portion of the word is to fulfill in our day. And we have to keep it before us. You know, if I knew that, you know, I've got a certain trip coming up and there's certain things that are going to have to, certain preparations that are going to have to be made and certain things are going to take place, I'm going to put that before me. And I'm going to look at the calendar and I'm going to see how much time I have. And I'm going to look, I'm going to make a checklist. I'm a list kind of a guy anyway. I'm going to make a checklist. Now, just because I make a list doesn't mean I do what's on the list, but at least I know what I got to do. So I'm going to make the list. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. And, you know, like you're going to go camping. I got to put air in the tires, right? Do you remember to do that? Or was that on the highway that you remembered? I got to make sure I got gas. I got to make sure I got my camping gear. You know, you make your lists here. Let's see. Sleeping bag check. Tent check. Stove check. Propane. Wow, I'm sure glad I remembered that. Check. The right fittings. Check. You know, clothes. Whatever it is. You make a list, right? Because in order for that to take place, you got to, there's certain preparations that have to be made, right? So, whatever the portion of the word is that's supposed to be revealed in our day, that's supposed to be lived out, shouldn't we keep that before us? Shouldn't we have a picture of it? Shouldn't we have that vision before us so that we can see what it is? Because we're looking for this to be in place and looking for that to be in place. And we know that we physically have to walk into this part or that part. So we must have a vision. Nobody's going to... There's not going to be a single person that goes in the rapture that says, how in the world did I get it here? Even the dead in Christ that are going to raise, they went down with that vision before them. They were looking for the coming of the Lord. They were looking for that to be fulfilled. So they kept that vision before them. So we must have a vision of what we are to manifest and declare in this generation. It's not that we're going to try to do it, but we must know what it is that's going to take place. And the Word of God shows us the vision concerning us, which was revealed to us by Christ Himself and was sent to us through His prophet. So John had to see, as he forerun the first coming of the Lord, John had to see what the Word declared concerning him. He had to go into the Scriptures, and they even asked him, you know, are you that one? Or should we seek another? Well, you know, and he knew who they were talking about according to the Scriptures. And he says, no, I'm not that one. They said, well, who are you? He says, I'm the voice of one Christ in the wilderness, right? Preparing the way of the Lord. So he found himself in the Scripture. If he didn't find himself in the Scripture, then we're presuming, right? But he found himself in the Word, and he saw what the Word declared concerning him, and that is what gave him faith. So you must be able to see it in the Word first, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. And so that's why we spend so much time, friends, trying to show you what the Word declares. Because step one is to see it in the Word. Step two is to see yourself in that prophecy. And step three is to really believe it. It's one thing to say, okay, I think that's us, and I believe that that's us, but do you believe it's you? Hallelujah. So the Word of God shows us a vision concerning us, and John had to see what the Word declared concerning him, and that's what gave him faith. You say, well, you know, where's this rapturing faith at? The rapturing faith is when you see yourself in the vision. That's where your faith comes from. So was it with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I'm so glad that he became a man in every form except without sin. Because if he would have, played the supernatural card at any step of the way, in other words, if he would have done things that humans can't do, if I couldn't come the same way he came, then I'd be worried, right? But he came, he condescended and came and was tempted in all ways as a man. So he had to also see the word concerning himself, had to see himself in the word. So I want us to have faith, friends, in this hour. And we can only have faith by seeing what the word declares concerning us. Now, if we haven't received the faith yet, it's because probably because we haven't seen in the word what the vision has said concerning us, right? And so if you stay in that mode, if the faith never breaks on you, then you're going to be in this mode. Well, Brother Baker's been saying that for 10 years now, and we've been hearing that. It's over and over and over, and it'll just continue right along that way. And, you know, some get tired, some walk away, some say, well, I thought it was true, but then nothing's happened, right? But you have to go beyond... knowing that it's in the word that these things are supposed to take place in this day, to seeing yourself in that prophecy. So our faith is in what the scripture says that we are. And I want everybody to know that we're not getting this from a Mormon text. We're not getting it from a Seventh-day Adventist text. And really, we're not even getting it from the message. We're getting it from the Bible. The Bible declares what we are to fulfill in this day and who we are. We're in that word. Now, the message shines the light on that word and illuminates it for us. But the message did not replace the Bible, and it did not, it doesn't exist. It's not elevated above the Bible. Our faith is in what the scripture says that we are, just as it was for John the Baptist, just as it was. In fact, look at our forerunner. How did he come to know who he was? Oh, he got it from the message. There wasn't a message. He got it from the word. Others that are around the ranks of our message that aren't born again, they cannot see what the word declares about you. It's not revealed to them. And I'm glad, friends, that God worked it out such that it would only be revealed to those that it concerns. Why am I glad? Because if not, we might try to rest on what other people say about us instead of having faith only in what the word says about us. And when the word reveals it to you, when Christ reveals it to you, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nobody can take it from you. We know that God's word is true. So we need to believe what the word says about us above what we think, above what we feel, above what we see, or what others might say. Because God's word is true. And he wants my resting place to be in him, in him only. Verse 15, John 1:15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So we see that there was a fullness that the groom manifested. The fullness of the Godhead was in the groom bodily. But it wasn't just in the groom, but it was manifested in the groom. So we need to also recognize that there is a fullness that his bride will manifest. It will be him again in another form, in the bride form. So it's not a portion of the word, but it is absolutely the fullness of the word embodied in a bride. And the fullness is it's a many-membered body that spans the globe. And not one of us has every element. Not one of us has the fullness. But the fullness is in a body on the earth. The fullness of him is not one particular church body. The days of that are far gone, friends. Neither is it in one individual, as we saw it at one time through the seventh angel messenger. We are individual sons and daughters of God, and each one of us has a portion of the fullness living and dwelling in us. But you take that earthly body that's made up of all these individual members, and you have a bride body of Christ in which the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells once again. Amen. It is the Word coming in bride form. Jesus Christ is the Word. It's the Word coming again, but this time in bride form. Amen. All who are in Christ, who are baptized into that body and are filled with His Spirit, are gathered together unto Him. And the only place that God has chosen to place His name is in Christ. And His name is in a people. Therefore, Christ is in a people. Verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So it was grace that was poured out and manifested through the prophets, but now it's more grace as the fullness comes in bride form. We had a portion of grace in the Reformers. We had a portion of grace in Luther. We had a portion of grace, another portion in Wesley. We had another portion, you know, through each one of these, through the restoration of the gifts, until the fullness has been restored in a body. And it has been grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. And some want to do away with grace and then try to live the law again. But this grace exceeds the grace that was in the law. And it fulfills the law in its entirety. So there is more mercy now than there ever was. The capstone comes down with grace, grace, a double portion of grace. And of its fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the prophets were God's justice, but grace and truth, John says, comes by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So John is telling us that there was a body that was on the earth at that time that was declaring the Word and was declaring to the world the living Spirit of God. Yet you couldn't see the Spirit of God. It is not possible, let me just put it to you this way, you will never see God, ever. Because it's not possible to see Spirit God. And we cannot see a spirit being with our natural eyes. So God placed Himself behind a veil and thus revealed Himself to us through human flesh. The fullness was revealed from behind one veil. And that veil was the man, Jesus Christ. The pattern was established already in the Old Testament, and then it was manifested in Jesus Christ. In other words, this wasn't the first time that God manifested Himself behind a veil. He had manifested Himself in part behind a veil through the prophets in the Old Testament, but He'd also manifested Himself in the fullness in the pillar of fire. And we say, well, the pillar of fire is God, but no, the pillar of fire is not God. The pillar of fire is the veil that Elohim was veiled behind, because you can't see Him. But when you saw that pillar of fire, you knew that that's where He was at. So when we follow this through, we see that if the Spirit God, if the fullness of the Word is to come again in the last day, we would not be able to see Him physically, but we would see His life flowing out from a body. Are you with me? I'm trying to take this slow. I'm trying to show you that this is how we knew that it was the fullness in a body. We didn't know, we couldn't say it was the fullness in a body because we looked at a physical man. We couldn't say that. And we couldn't see Spirit God, right? So what we looked at was the kind of life that was living behind that veil and what it did and how it behaved and how it acted and the works that it produced, right? So if the fullness were to be in a body again, it would have to manifest itself in the same way, right? So this time, it's not one veil, but it's many veils. The body that's on the earth is declaring a living spirit to the world. It's declaring to the world a God of grace. It's declaring to the world a God of mercy. It's declaring to the world a God of love, a God of deliverance, a God of peace, a God of forgiveness, good tidings. It's being declared from behind a veil, a body. He's declaring this through a people that allow him to dwell in them. Christ in them is their hope of glory, or their hope of glorification. So the world can only know him through his bride body. Well, that's a mouthful right there, friends. The only way. It's not. They aren't going to know him through a Bible. Oh, did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Do you know him through a Bible? You believe that that Bible is his word, but you know him through a body. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody shared the living realities of the living God. Somebody updated it for you. Somebody was living it out. Somebody baptized you. Right? Christ in a body. Oh, come on, friends. You didn't realize that? Which one of you said, oh, I've never seen him and I don't believe that he's here, but I believe in God? No. You took that step because you saw him. You saw what he was doing in a body. You saw someone that was forgiven and how they lived, and someone that was delivered, someone that was healed, someone that's overcoming. You saw somebody that was matching what the word said the life would do in a body. And you bit. You said, I want that. So you are declaring Spirit God by his life that is in you. So the world can only know him through a bride body. Now his desire was to, his desire, friends, remember, three parts. His desire was to, it was God above us. In the Old Testament, it was God with us. In the New Testament, here in the end time, it's God in us. And he wants to have preeminence in a body. And that body is a bride body that he's manifesting himself through. And that's how he's chosen to declare himself to the world once again. How many wants to be that kind of a body? Amen. You are in the bosom of your Father. Amen. In that day, you'll know I'm in the Father. I'm in you, and you in me. So he's in you. And you are in him. Amen. And you declare Spirit God by his life that is in you. Yes. By the very nature of that life that's being lived out, it's declaring him. It's glorifying him again in another body. Now, that doesn't make your first birth God. We aren't saying that, and we've never said that. But by the new birth, you become a tabernacle of the living God. I mean, friends, that's just reading the New Testament. Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So on the day of Pentecost, Peter references these scriptures that we read in Joel chapter 2. And there had been a great pouring out in the days of Jesus because he was the fulfillment of the words that were spoken in the Old Testament prophets, or by the Old Testament prophets, And he was the fullness of the Spirit now in one vessel. It was manifested in portions throughout the various prophets, but now it's all in one vessel. He was in that one body, and so is he again in every way in a bride body. Let me say that again. And so is he in every way again in a bride body. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So we're told that in the same age and in the same season, a teaching rain would be given. And that teaching rain would water the seed. The seed would begin to grow. And then later on, as the seed grew and as it began to grow up and mature, it would eventually begin to bring forth fruit. And then there would be a harvest rain. And the harvest rain would be necessary to bring forth that fruit. So God promised a time of restoration, which brings a teaching rain, or a planting of the seed, followed by a harvest rain. So listen, church. We are in the midst tonight. We are in the midst of the greatest revival that has ever hit the face of the earth. Where are you going afterwards? Denny's is closed. We are in the midst of the greatest revival that has ever hit the face of the earth. It's here. It's not something that we're looking for. It's not something that's off in the future. He said it would be, and it is. And it's called the bride's revival. Remember, the denominations had their revival. And then after that is the bride's revival. And that's what energizes us. And that's what keeps us going. You see, the life is in the body. And the life hasn't left the body. And in this revival, the life won't leave the body. Because the body isn't going to go back into the ground. The body's going into the air. So this is a revival that's without end. This is a revival that takes you into a rapture. And that's what's different about the revivals that we've had throughout the church ages. And that's what energizes us. And that's what keeps us going. This revival starts at your birth by the word of your day. And it is a revival that does not end. You will not say, well, we used to, and I used to, and I was happier, and my favorite day was 50 years ago. No, that's not our testimony, and it won't be our testimony. Every day is a new day. And that life is still in the Bible, in the body. So this revival is going to keep you all the way to the end. And this revival is going to change your body, which is the ultimate revival. It is your body being changed from glory to glory. You see, we have an ever-present Christ. The cycle of revival and death is broken in this age. In every age, there's been the word has come, there's been a revival, and then there's a cooling off, and those that cool off, they go into the ground. The torch is handed off to another generation who has another revival, and that revival is based on a restoration of a certain amount of truth. But in this last age, the fullness is in a body. And where he is, there's life. So you say, well, how could you say this is the greatest revival? The fullness is in a body, in a many-membered body. And the fullness of redemption is coming to a conclusion. So you don't need to call it down. You don't need to pray it down. But you need to recognize that it's already here. And you need to surrender to it. Our attitude makes all the difference. We are promised a rain. Which is the falling of doctrine, a teaching rain. Well, we've had that, have we not? Joel 2, verse 24. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Touch not the oil and the wine. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty. Amen. There's a feast, friends. Yes. There's a famine in the land for the hearing of the word, but not for those that are hearing. Amen. And be satisfied. So if we're not satisfied right now, something's wrong. And be satisfied. Now, that's not to say that you're not going to want to eat more. That's not to say that you won't hunger for more. You will hunger for more, but as you partake of more, you're satisfied. Every time you partake, you're satisfied. It's satisfying. And praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood. Listen to this. Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Now, friends, this great and terrible day of the Lord is a tribulation period. It's the same day that's spoken of in Malachi chapter 4, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. It's the tribulation period. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, in the bride, and in Jerusalem, in the in Israel, shall be deliverance, first for the bride and then for Israel, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Remnant of the bride, remnant of Israel. Amen. So the bride members of Jerusalem and of Mount Zion are called. And the remnant also is called. But they're chosen for, they're not discarded. There's another purpose. So, friends, we've made our calling and our election sure. Now, that's knowing your day and its message. That's knowing who you are in the Word. We believe His Word concerning us. Not because somebody said it, but because it's been revealed to us, each and every one. And the word was poured out first into a prophet, but it is poured out once again into a people. And friends, if we miss that, we've missed the whole purpose of God sending a prophet. All of those that want to just listen to tapes, those that want to stay home, those that want to shy away from you, those that think that you're weird for listening to live preaching, they're missing the whole point. They claim that they recognize that God sent a prophet. But if you really recognize that God sent a prophet, you'd realize that God sent a prophet for a purpose. He sent it for a people. God always sends a prophet to bring a word to a people. He doesn't just send a prophet to say, look what I did. A one-man rapture. Well, just make sure that Brother Bram loves you. You'll be there. Well, I don't have a chance to influence them now, do I? I'm not even in the picture if we're going to play that dumb idea. No, let's just call it what it is. That's dumb. Everyone that he loves and loves him will be there. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe that applies to me too. Everyone that I love and that loves me will be there too. Oh. Who do you want to make it? Who are you willing to stand in the gap for? Abraham. God is pouring out as he said that he would. Now, for some, his spirit is being poured out on them. For others, his spirit is poured out in them. A again, from the unveiling of God. Brother Bram says, now, when it said here that he emptied himself or poured out, now, we would think like this, that he vomit up, the English word of emptied or poured out from him. See, something that went out of him that was different from him. But the word kinos in the Greek, it doesn't mean that he vomited up something. Or his arm went off. Or his eye went out. Another person. That is, he changed himself. He poured himself into. Amen, he says. Into another mask. Into another form. Not another person went out of him, called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. You get it? He himself poured himself into the people. Christ in you. How beautiful, how wonderful to think God pouring himself into a human being, into the believer, pour out. It was a part of his drama to do so. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God. And God alone, not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person. God veiled in human flesh. So the actor and the person that he's acting through, or the mask, become one. The actor and the person that he's acting through, the mask, become one. So God masked himself in the Old Testament behind the pillar of fire. He veiled himself in the burning bush and appeared to Moses. The pillar of fire in the Old Testament identified God. And they are thought of as one. You think of the pillar of fire as God, but the pillar of fire was the mask. Right? And it identified God, so you think of them as one. And the body of Jesus Christ was used to reveal to us God. Amen. If you've seen him, you've seen God. You've seen the Father. Again, verse 79 of the unveiling of God, he says, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God, G-O-D, Elohim, capital G-O-D in the Bible, refer it back, anybody. It refers to, in the original, it said Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. See, and Elohim, without controversy, great is the mystery of Elohim. For Elohim was made flesh, and we handled him. So the same Spirit God of the Old Testament tabernacled. The same one that tabernacled behind a tent in the Old Testament, now tabernacled in human flesh. Amen. And we handled him. John told us that in 1 John. Elohim, veiled in human flesh. The great Jehovah that covered all space and time and everywhere was made man. We handled him, Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim, and Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Skipping down to, going to the mighty God unveiled before us, paragraph 130, he says, then it was God. In them days, it was God in a man, his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, not an ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. He says, now it's God in... No, he didn't say that. Now it's God in... Now it's God in... The fullness of the Godhead bodily in his entire church. Manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Same God. So God was manifested in Christ for the purpose of redemption, in order to bring forth many sons. We read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, our gas man, when he turned off our gas and when he saw that, you know, we were just this close to having an explosion because we had a major gas leak, and they had to come and pull gas out of the ground. And anyway, when he saw what took place with our building and how things had burned down, he gave us this scripture. He said, "We know, Pastor, that all things work together for good to them that love God." I said, "We're resting on that." Yeah. "To them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." He set your destiny to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So when people see you, friends, God wants them to see the image of his Son by making you one among many sons. God's plan is that there will be many Messiahs, that there will be many anointed ones. You're not the Messiah, but you are an anointed one. He came first to redeem us by his blood, and then he became our intercessor. But I'm so glad that he didn't just stop with the intercession, friends. He sent back his Holy Spirit when he ascended on high. And Peter said that in the last days that he would pour out of his very own spirit, his very own life. So what came out of him was in order to manifest himself behind another mask, to manifest himself in another body. And we are, and friends, when we are prayed up and when we are yielded to him, we are overcoming as he overcame. And the reason why we don't see this more, the reason why things start become common, is because we're not prayed up. It's because we're not walking in the Spirit. And sometimes it takes a little hardship to back us into a corner where we do what we should be doing all along. But you know that's true. You know that you just make a little bit of effort and you see a lot of God. Again, what was the Holy Ghost given for? He says, now the purpose. What was God's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit? He says, now mark that down, John 14, beginning in the 14th verse, reading through the chapter for the basis. God's purpose we find here in sending the Holy Spirit was one purpose, that God himself might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church, that God was in Christ, continuing his plans through Christ, out of Christ, into the church, continuing his work through the church. He says, now we know what the Holy Spirit is. We found out last night that it's God. Now we think of God the Father, as Jesus spoke of here, his Father, God the Son as Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, as what we call it today. He says, now that doesn't mean that there's three individuals or distinct gods. It means that there is one God in three offices. May we say it like this: all that God was, he poured into Christ, because he emptied himself and poured it into Christ. And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Not into one individual, but into the entire body. There, where we come together in unity, we have power. Amen. Now, friends, this is a key. I want to dwell on this for a few minutes here. There, where we come together in unity, we have power. So all that God was, he says, was in Christ, and all that Christ was is in you. For God was made flesh and dwelt among us, 1 Timothy 3:16, if you're putting it down. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. We handled him, God Jehovah, made flesh and walked on the earth, and we saw him with our own eyes. Now, I'm just getting to my text. We're going to have to pull over here in a moment. Friends, when we come together in unity as a body, we have power. And that power is right now in each one of us as individuals. But hold on to your seats. You know, when we know this, we need to do something about it. The power that's in each one of us individually is it's powerful, right? But it's invincible when we come together in unity. So when we're all together in unity, the power that's in the body is invincible. Oh, we didn't get a prayer that was answered in church. Somebody's not in unity. We have a promise. Friends, we could go into this in great depth, but I just want to touch on it because I'm laying a foundation for what we're just going to keep drilling into. But in the Old Testament, amongst the children of Israel, when there was no sin in the camp, they were never defeated. But that unity was broken when somebody was compromising, when there was sin in the camp. So when we're together in unity, there's not one prayer that shouldn't be answered. Oh my. So that's one reason why it's so important for us to come together. How can we be undefeated if we're not together? How can we be in unity if we're not together? Don't we have to come together? Sure we do. Because that's where the power is. So nothing should stand before our prayer when we come together believing as one. And the only way that we can all believe as one is to be circumcised by the Spirit, so that we all believe His word and His word only. Friends, that's why we're showing you this second circumcision that took place. It was actually the first circumcision for those that were being circumcised. But what was being done was things were being cut away so that they were all one. So we should be so looking forward to coming together because healing is in the body. Right now, tonight, healing is in the body. And when we come together in unity, God does not see individuals. He sees a body that's made up of many building blocks. And He hears a voice. One voice. Well, by definition, if we're together in unity, there's one voice. He sees one body and He hears one voice. And He says, you can have what you ask. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, friends. When has this ever taken place? Again, from the inner veil, He says, He said, I brought Him to your disciples, and they could not do Him no good. They couldn't heal Him, and I brought Him to you. No man will ever reach the plane that Jesus stood on. He was God, incarnate God, made manifest here on earth in flesh to give us what God was. God was in His Son, reconciling the world to Himself. No man will ever reach that plane. So, in other words, you and I, I will never be the fullness, right? But I'll be part of a body in which the fullness dwells in. He was God, incarnate God, made manifest here on the earth in flesh to give us what God was. God was in His Son, reconciling the world to Himself. No man will ever reach that plane. He's God's only begotten Son. Or, in Him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything of God was in Christ. But, you have the Spirit by portion. He had it without measure. You got a measure. Like a spoonful of water out of the ocean. It means it's a spoonful of the same chemicals, but not enough, not much of it. How about Paul, when he left his buddy sick, and Paul himself being buffeted by an infirmity and all those and many, many things, and people just don't read the Bible in the light that it's wrote in. That's all. Just read what they think, and that's the way they get all these here ideas and denominations and everything, they go into it with a mindset. Instead of reading it the way it's written, they read it the way they want to read it. Well, he said, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, and he broke bread and fed the hungry multitudes. I said, well, wait a minute, brother. We're just in our infancy. We're rising. Don't worry. We can get all these fanatics and unbelievers out of the way, and we'll move on up into perfection after a while. And you'll see signs and wonders. But we're just babies crawling. Just give us a little while. Yeah. 1956. January 21st, 1956. Where are we at? I won't try and do the math. You can do that yourself. Exercise for the student. We can't just be babies still, friends. Right? Okay, 44 and 20 is 64. 60, actually, it's 21. 65 years. 65 years. 65 years. You know, it would have been easier for me to say, okay, I'm 61 and back away 4 years. I would have come to that a lot quicker. 65 years. This body has to be coming to maturity. He says, wait a minute, brother. We're just in our infancy. 1956. We're rising. Don't worry. We can get all these fanatics and unbelievers out of the way. We'll move on up into perfection after a while. And you'll see signs and wonders. But we're just babies crawling. Just give us a little while yet. Again, in blind Bartimaeus, he says, now we have the Spirit by measure. He had it without measure. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt within the Son of God. Now, himself, he was a man. But the Spirit that was in him was God. Your men. These are men. I'm a man. But the Spirit in us is God. But we have it by measure. Now, if I went out here in the ocean and picked up a spoonful of water, like all the ocean that was in Jesus, the fullness of God, but what's in me and in you is just little spoonfuls. But if you took that spoonful of water to the lab and tested it, the same chemicals that was in the spoonful would be what was in the ocean. That's right. The same kind of chemicals. Is that right? The same Holy Ghost then. Amen. And with your spoonful and my spoonful and their spoonful, put it all together, we can do things for God. He set it up this way where we need one another. If we'll just let it flow together, it brings the presence of God. Amen. You bring your part, I'll bring my part, and together we'll make up a portion of his body. Again, in Show Us the Father, he says, a woman said, who did he pray to in the Garden of Gethsemane on the streets, meeting one time? I said, well, I want to ask you something. You testified you had the Holy Ghost. Where is it at? What do you pray to? That's a good answer, huh? What do you pray to? It's on the inside of you, of course. Well, we have the Spirit with measure. He had it without measure. We are sons and daughters of God by measure. Like taking a spoonful of water out of the ocean, and he's the whole ocean. But the same chemicals that's in the spoon is in the whole ocean. It's quantity, but the same quality. In other words, if there's healing in you tonight, healing's healing. Therefore, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, God is in us. Yes, notice, God in his universe, God in his word, God in his son. So, friends, really, we aren't complete without one another. And we need each other in this body. And that's why we ought to be careful that we just don't let things get in between us. And that we don't get hung up on the flesh. Don't get hung up on your own flesh, even. We need also other fellowships that make up portions of his body. Remember, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And he is now in a many-membered body. Friends, we've been linking together with other pastors and ministers, particularly in this last year. And, you know, with the COVID cases, just all the things that have come in, and there's just been testimony after testimony after testimony. This one's on their deathbed. This one that they gave up on. This one, there's no hope. We've had that here.
Sure.
Right? And we've united with a portion of the body. We're not saying that's all of it. We know it isn't. But we're uniting together in faith and praying, and our prayers are being answered. And we don't care whose prayer was it that got a hold of the hem of his garment. Just that a prayer gets a hold of the hem of his garment. It's coming from the same body. So we aren't complete without one another. We need one another. And the power that's in his body has not diminished one bit. And the power that's in his body is unstoppable. And Satan knows it. Persecution didn't stop that power in the dark ages. And your persecution won't stop it either. It doesn't matter whether you're behind the pulpit or you're a laundry maid. It's all the same. It's the same. It's the same. Again, the ever-present water from the rock. Brother Branham says, now, brethren and sisters, I want to ask you something. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, God don't have little weak parts and big strong parts. He's altogether God. And if you had enough of God in you till it was just barely a shadow, that's enough power to make a new earth. Oh, let's read that again. He couldn't have meant that, did he? If you had enough of God in you till it was just barely a shadow, that's enough power to make a new earth. That's enough power to make a new moon and a new system. It's God. And it's strong. You say, well, why isn't it happening? Because it's not his will. All right now, in every believer in here has life eternal, which is God's Spirit in you. Enough power that'll raise up the dead. It'll heal the sick. You say, well, I don't have it in me. That's just for the pastor. That's just for ministers. That's just for this one or that one. Well, if you go the way of the grave, how are you coming up?
Amen.
That life that's in you,
yes,
will raise you from the grave. Oh. And right now, every believer in here has life eternal, which is God's Spirit in you. Enough power that'll raise up the dead, that'll heal the sick, that'll set orbits in conditions. But it's controlled by a law, that Spirit that's in you. You are sons and daughters of God. That same Spirit that you've got in you will raise yourself up at the day of resurrection. Oh, we need Brother Branham to come back and raise us up. You've got what you need in you right now. It'll quicken your mortal body. Again, he says, paragraph 148, Jesus, when he was here on the earth, when he died, his soul descended into hell and preached to the spirits that were in prison, the souls in prison, that repented not in the long-suffering days of Noah. His body went into a grave, but before he died, he commended his spirit into the hands of God. His spirit went to God. His soul went to hell. And his body went to the grave. And Jesus was barred out from resurrection until the scripture could be fulfilled. He could not come back because he had to stay in the grave for 3 days and nights. But when the scripture was fulfilled, when it was all fulfilled, this bar was taken away. And his spirit descended to his soul and his soul to his body. And he rose again. Friends, that's the same story for the dead in Christ. They have to stay there until the scripture is fulfilled. Just as it was with him. They have to stay there until, and then they'll come up. Same way. So we're nearing the time, friends, when the bar is going to be lifted. There's a bar that's over the church for the last 2,000 years. All things are just about to be fulfilled. And until every element of the vision is in place, it can't be fulfilled. All things are just about to be fulfilled, and we're not going to go into death as they have with every other revival cycle. Oh, sure, there are those that are dying off left and right. We know that have settled down and are in the waiting mode or worse than that even. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that the greatest revival is taking place right now as people become the manifestation of the message. You see, this message is actually describing you. It's actually illuminating you. It's actually pointing you out in the scriptures. It's introducing you to the world. So the bar is just about to be lifted, and there is the same Jesus now in another form. Again, from ever-present water from the rock. Brother Brown says, the power that'll raise us up is right in us now. So you think I'm making this stuff up? I say it, and then I quote it. Oh, amen. We are now in heavenly places. We are now in the power of the resurrection. If there wasn't a law to that, so there is a law to it. That law says that every name has to come. Has to be dipped in that Clorox bleach of the blood. Every son or daughter of God has to be redeemed. And then a bar is lifted. There's a law that's governing that right now. If that law wasn't governing it, the dead in Christ would already come up. Because the power to raise them up is in them. It's right in us now. We are now in heavenly places. We are now in the power of the resurrection. If there wasn't a lot of that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world out there and go live a private life on it. I know I would. Where are you going? I ain't telling you. You have the power in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you got power to do it. God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will, you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Why? Because it's the same one that said, let there be, that's in you. There you are. That's what power is in the church now. But it's controlled by a law. And that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. It's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that's yours. Let me read that again. If you can believe it, whatever Joel can, well, it'd be nice, but that's not what it says. Whatever Susan can, that's nice too. But that's not what it says. Whatever God will lead your soul to believe, it's yours. Whatever God will lead your soul to believe. Why? Because in your soul, the only thing that's there is faith. There's no doubt. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you believe. You're a believer. That's what makes you a believer. All you do is believe. Be it unto me according to thy word. If you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place the soles of your feet can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. What about this loved one or that one, loved one? What about if we're not related? Whatever God can get your soul to believe, that's the answer. You say, but I'm having trouble believing it. Do you want to believe it? Well, then get desperate. Lay before the Lord. Say, Lord, get my soul to believe that. I'm struggling to believe it. But Lord, get my soul to believe it. My head is spinning around. But get my, because once it anchors in your soul, you'll have it. Every place the soles of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key of this law of faith that opens it to you. You see what I mean? That power is controlled. If you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, that never leaves you.
Amen.
This would stand quoting. You know, why don't you go home tonight and put that on your refrigerator? You know what that is, right? Put that right on your refrigerator. If you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, that never leaves you. Well, I'm feeling up. Wonderful. I'm feeling down. Terrible. But if you're a son or daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you. I got to run to church. It's good to run to church. It's wonderful to run to church. But if you have a need, it's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I say tonight, friends, God, get my soul to believe whatever you have for me, whatever your will is for my life, whatever your purpose is for me on this earth. Get my soul to believe it, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have to worry because he will lead my soul to believe what's needful for me. And that power never leaves you alone. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When Peter walked on the water, there was a power in him to do that. What left him was faith, but the power never left him. When his faith dropped down, he sank, but the power never left him. He lost the substance, but not the power. Listen to this. The ever-present water from the rock. I'm right at my closing time here. He says, when you are saved, God gives you faith to rise from the muck of the earth. The only way that you could rise from the muck of the earth is that he gave you that faith. The reason why you believe it is because he gave you faith to believe it. You say, but it was so simple. It's always simple. It's just that you didn't believe it and now you do. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. What is your faith? Your faith is that act that God has did in you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying. You quit your stealing. You quit your drinking because your faith rises you up above it. Amen. If you don't do it, you don't have any faith. And by faith, you are saved, and that through grace. Listen to this. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Let me read that again. I know it's 9 o'clock. It's been a long day. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. You say, but how do I get more faith? Why don't you come to church?
Right.
Faith comes, well, I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here, duh. Faith comes by hearing about fishing. Fishing's wonderful. Hearing about shopping, that's great. Hearing about a sale, wonderful. Hearing the word. You know, I'll just go ahead and say it. Some of us are more faithful about get-togethers with one another than we are about getting together at church. Okay, I said it. Now we can move on. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe that what you have said, he says, then what kind of a people ought we to be?
Right.
Having faith in this great redeeming Christ that lives in us. This smitten rock that never leaves the church. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The ever presence of the great gusher of salvation and power that poured forth from Calvary into the church, the ever presence of the living God, great flowing, smitten rock that goes with us in our journey. You believe that the pillar of fire went with the children of Israel in their journey? Do you believe that? It's the same one, except he's now in you. You're not looking for a tent to go set. Oh, did I just say that? You're not looking for a tent. You are the tent. You're not looking for the Holy Spirit to come down into a tent. You are the tent. Hallelujah. So it's time, friends, that we believe all that the prophets have spoken concerning us. And all that the prophets have spoken concerning us is the word. It's time that we believe the full word. You say, well, we'd have to have the full word. You got it. Next. What's preventing us? We're not walking in darkness. We're not presuming. We're not wondering. We have the fullness. So it's time for us to speak to our mountains. You say, I've tried that before. Well, maybe you weren't mature yet. It's time for us to speak to our mountains. In faith, believing. It's masterpiece time again. Remember, Brother Branham said it was toddler, you know, crawling, little baby. That's not now. The body's coming to maturity. It's masterpiece time again. When the image must speak, when it goes from just being an image to a speaking, living tabernacle of a living God. So somebody's going to speak, and somebody's going to believe his word, and somebody's going to manifest Christ here on the earth, because the fullness is here in a church body. Let's stand tonight. We have to hear these things. Amen. Then we got to go home and chew on them. Right? I'm not calling you a cow, but if you behaved like a cow when you went home, it'd probably be a good thing. Because cows have, what do they have, 8 stomachs? Something like that. They got several of them anyway, right? And what do? They go and eat a whole bunch of stuff, and then they go lay down. That's what you're going to do when you go home. And then they regurgitate from one of them stomachs. And they start chewing on it again. Oh, wasn't that good? Wasn't that tasty? What are you talking about? Well, that quote tonight. Whatever he can get your soul to believe. Oh my, wasn't that good? Swallow it. Comes back up again in the morning. This is reflux that we can live with. It don't give you heartburn. It settles your heart. And let it come up again and chew on it again and chew on it again and chew on it again. Till you become one with it. Till it just becomes part of your expectation, part of your nature. You're not surprised any longer. And why aren't you surprised? Because you're one with it. You recognize, you know what? I'm supposed to be doing these things. These things are supposed to be taking place in my life and in our church and in the body. These things are supposed, they're naturally supernatural. Yeah, they're supernatural, but they're natural. They're supposed to be happening. It's not something that we're trying to manufacture. It's not something we're trying to work up. What it is it's something we're trying to believe. Whatever he can get your soul to believe. That's what he's trying to do every time we come together, is to get our soul to believe the word concerning us. Hallelujah. Friends, I believe with all of my heart tonight that when this body that's on the earth comes to maturity, the last one comes in, this body comes to maturity, that's going to allow the dead in Christ. That law will be fulfilled. And that law will no longer say, no, they can't come forth. The bar will be lifted. And it'll just naturally happen. Oh, but somebody has to this or that or the other. The life is there. The life that's in you right now. If you were to go the way of the grave, that life will bring you back. If you don't go the way of the grave, that life that's in you will change your mortal body to a body like his. Do you believe that tonight? What a time. What an hour. You know, if we could just like that, believe what KGUN9 or whatever it was. I think it was KGUN. Is that Phoenix or Tucson or who cares? Just right away, they say, oh, we got the worst COVID in the world. And we just, wow, okay. We got the worst COVID in the world. Okay. Whatever God can get your soul to believe is yours. You just heard that. No, you didn't hear it on KGUN or Eyewitness News or whatever. You heard it from the Word of God. Now, how about we just believe that like we would about, well, the worst in the world? How about the best in the world? How about the greatest? How about the power? How about the life being in a body? How about nothing standing before your prayer? How about us coming together in unity, believing, and every prayer being answered? Friends, when we're functioning like that as a body, consistently, then if a prayer isn't answered, we should say, Lord, why not? What do we need to do? What's in the way? What step did we skip? We'll straighten it out, Lord. We'll get it right. But we know that every prayer ought to be answered when we come together in unity as a body. Can you say amen to that tonight? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful, Lord, to be included in this hour. Lord, I'm just speaking for myself right now. But Lord, I can say wholeheartedly that there was a time when I felt like just the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. I felt like, Lord, that we're living in a dead time, a dead hour. I knew it wasn't dead in the sense that I could see the devil on the rampage. But the church was dead. The church that I saw was putting you in the past or putting you in the future. And was saying that we're just believing by faith here in the interim, in the in-between time. Showing that they don't even know what faith is. And they showed it in so many other ways as well. Our prayer requests when they went forth. It was, God, if it be your will, do this. If it's not your will, then don't do it. And Lord, I wondered then, I still wonder today, why even pray a prayer like that? That's a que sera, sera prayer. That's a prayer saying, well, whatever will be, will be. So why would I even need to pray that? Why would I need to pray that, well, whatever is going to happen, let it happen? There's no faith in that. What we're told to pray is, let your word or your will in the heavens be done on the earth. And that means that we have to know what your will is. We have to know what we're praying, what we're asking for. We have to know what your word is. And then we say, Lord, I agree with it. Quicken that. If I don't believe it, get my soul to believe that. So that I can say, be it unto me according to thy word. So that I can say, let thy will, thy word, let what is done in heaven be done here on the earth. I can say it with faith. Father, as we come to the closing hours of the Gentile dispensation, Lord, we're gleaning. We know that. here in America especially. We're looking for one here and one there, and we'd certainly just be exalted if 100 came in at once. We're not saying it couldn't happen, but we're saying that what we're seeing is one here and one there. And we know that it's wrapping down. We know that it's the closing hours. We know, Lord, that in other countries there's still little waves of, particularly in the East. We know the gospel started in the East. It travels from East to West until it ends up in the East once again, where it originated from. Just as the sun travels. We know that in all the eastern countries that there's many souls still coming in. We don't know when the time will be when the last one comes in. But Lord, we want to be about your business, and we want to recognize, Lord, what's in the body right now. We want to recognize that the same one, the same presence, we're speaking about you, Lord, the same Spirit God that dwelt and manifested in one body is still dwelling and manifesting in one body, but this time it's a many-membered body. It's a mystical body. It's not one human being body, but it's members. It's you take these spiritual beings and combine them all, and they make up a bride body, which is your church. Lord, we want to agree with your word. We want to know our day and its message. We want to know what our portion is to be fulfilled. We want to look for it. We want to pursue it. We want to walk in it. And we want to be living epistles read of all men. We want to be the word made manifest, because that's what you've called us to be. And if your spirit is dwelling in us, it'll do the same works that it did in that one body. It'll do it in a many-membered body. Help us, oh God. Help us to keep our focus. Especially in these times, Lord, if we didn't know these things, it'd be real easy to look at the conditions of the world. It'd be real easy to look at all these other different things and get discouraged and to think that nothing's happening. But Lord, we're not looking at the world, and we're not looking at what other people say. We're looking at your word. And Lord, you've already vindicated it, manifested it, proved it, and then foretold us that what was done 60 years ago, 65, 70 years ago, would be manifested. It was in its infancy at that time, but it would be manifested again in its fullness in a many-membered body. I don't know how close we are, Lord. What I do know is that we're closer than we've ever been before. And what I do know, Lord, is that I want to press that much harder. Lord, that I want to walk that much more in the Spirit. I want to be mindful, Lord, of when I'm walking in the flesh, perhaps, and not walking in the Spirit. I want to be mindful, Lord, when I'm not speaking to you hourly, let alone daily. I want to be mindful, Lord. I want to redeem the time that you've given to us. And Lord, I want to see this body come forth in the full manifestation of the power that's in this body. Not for, and when I say that, Lord, it's not to draw attention to ourselves. It's not to bring things to us. And it's not to exalt us. But it's to glorify you. And it's for your word to be fulfilled, for your will to be done. For what you predestined to be done in this portion of your body. That's what we want to see, Lord. Won't you grant it? Lord, as each one of us surrenders, as each one of us searches these things out, as each one of us says, Lord, I believe. And Lord, as we find that we're struggling to believe maybe portions of it, that we just bring that before you and we say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, quicken that. Give me the faith, Lord, to believe that portion that you've called me to believe. And I'll believe it. And Lord, when you get me to believe it, It'll be done on earth as it is in heaven. Won't you grant it, Lord? I pray that you'd encourage each and everyone, whether they're in the building tonight, whether they're listening in, whether they'll be listening in. May each one be encouraged. May each one be strengthened. And Lord, may we redeem the time. May we recognize not just our day and its message, but our hour, our minute, our time. We're fulfilling a portion that wasn't being fulfilled in 1960 or 1956. 1956, you said it was in its infancy. Well, surely it can't still be in its infancy tonight. Surely it's got to be coming to maturity. And Lord, if it is, there's things being fulfilled tonight that weren't fulfilled then. Be it unto us, Lord, according to thy word. Won't you grant it? May each one be encouraged now. May each one be strengthened. May every need be met, Lord, according to your word. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his name. He became me so that I might become him by grace. Yes, he became me so that I might become him by grace. Know that he took my place so that I through his love could take his. Yes, he became me so that I might become him by grace. And again, yes, he became me so that I might become him by grace. I know he became me so that I